News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
I'm joined by Gabia Gadavascacha, who is BBC Dublin correspondent, to have a look at some of the stories you may not yet have heard and also to give analysis on some of those that you have. And we start with TDs seeking extra scrutiny of the bill removing the three-day wait for abortion. Now, this was the bill that had originally been floated by the Social Democrats. Then Sinn Féin had a go at it and rewrote the legislation, and it passed because there was an unwhipped vote through the Dáil. Does the fact that there are now calls for extra scrutiny, does that suggest that what they are hoping to do is mire it in bureaucracy so that it doesn't get through?
Well, look, I think probably there's an element of it's Sinn Féin legislation, and government TDs will to some extent be anxious about that fact alone. So they're now seeking extra scrutiny of that legislation, which seeks to remove the three-day waiting period for abortion services, because they're worried about a potential backlash from voters over it being, quote, railroaded through the Dáil. So, of course, many coalition TDs, including senior ministers, they voted against that bill in the Dáil earlier this month. But it passed with the support of opposition TDs and some government ministers, including Micheál Martin, Simon Harris, and even the Minister for Health, Jennifer Cal McNeill. But several Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael TDs who are members of the Oireachtas Health Committee, who will, of course, be to the forefront of carrying out the pre-legislative scrutiny, they want to hold further public hearings or seek submissions from the before the proposal advances through the Oireachtas. Now, all committees have private meetings, and at a private meeting of this committee this week, some government TDs argued that witnesses should be brought in regarding what was proposed and said pushing the bill through as quickly as possible could cause division.
This has the feel of something that will take the rest of our lives, if that's the case.
I think what probably is likely to happen is that perhaps the government might come up with its own version of legislation, but because it is a free vote and because it is an issue of conscience, as politicians will tell us, it does make it certainly a lot more difficult to deal with for government.
Now, we all know those text messages and calls where you look at the number and you think, this either means that I have a relative who is in A&E and I need to act on it immediately, or I'm going to get all my money taken away and I'm not 100% sure which is which. Three Ireland has put out the details on just how many of those it has intervened in.
Well, fair play to them, because they've blocked 26 million suspected scam calls and 455,000 scam texts last year.
26 million?
Which is great, because I suppose I'm still getting calls from relatives in Uganda and all these places that I've never been to or don't have any relatives in any way. But it's saying that to date in 2026, it has blocked 4 million scam calls, which is a sharp drop on the number of caught last year. And three said that it has intercepted 650,000 fraudulent text messages, which is a rise on last year, which is interesting, isn't it? They seem to be kind of maybe have gotten figured out a way as to how to get through most of those calls. The operator saying that alongside traditional scam texts and emails, call-based and social engineering scams are now common. So it might involve a customer receiving a call from what appears to be an Irish mobile or landline number, so not from abroad somewhere, with the caller falsely claiming to be from their provider. They may create urgency, you know, saying there's an account issue, there's a promotional offer. Now, I will also point to these Garda figures, including scams initiated by calls and texts. Fraud and economic crimes, they arose by 137% last year.
And these, of course, they have with them both the sense of credibility and, as you say, the sense of urgency. It is always, you owe us $23.96 on a package that is due in, and if you don't pay it by Tuesday, we're sending it back to wherever.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a particular scary one, which is I got recently, which is Revenue saying you've an overdue tax bill. I mean, that does put
that
the fear of God into a lot of people, so... Certainly, I think if three and other providers are helping to block them, that's a good thing. I think the concern there probably is the scammers find a way to work around those measures.
And particularly given the rise of AI, I assume that the capacity to do all of this using technology is getting a lot cheaper and a lot easier and a lot more sophisticated. Now, we hear reports today that office water cooler chat is a thing of the past. We no longer speak to our colleagues.
Well, this is quite sad, because it says research shows nearly a fifth of workers still regularly go the day without speaking to another person. So the water cooler, of course, used to be where gossip was exchanged. But this is research from a workplace training platform called Kahoot in the UK. But employees now are more likely to send an instant message to the colleague sitting a few feet away than to strike up a conversation in person.
Now, is that because they wanted on the record that they nagged them to do the thing that they didn't do? Or is it just pure laziness and a desire not to speak to other humans?
But if it's a bit of gossip, I don't know why it would be a good idea to put it on the record with an official company.
Well, that's a good point. But there is the advantage that nobody will overhear it if you just send it on Teams.
Yes, it's more discreet, I suppose. But surely if you're in the office, there's no way you go a whole day without speaking to another person. If you're surrounded by people all day.
A lot of people don't talk to me.
Well, maybe you're just stuck in here, Anton.
Lastly, then, we were talking about fines and the fear of revenue. One man who is totally unperturbed by the fines that he is racking up seems to be Enoch Burke, because a judge is considering freeing him and reassessing his fines, which currently are up to
about 450,000 euro. So a High Court judge is saying he will consider whether to release Enoch Burke from prison, despite the teacher's continuing refusal to comply with a court order not to trespass at his former place of work. Judge Brian Cregan also considered evidence relating to fines accrued by Mr. Burke over the long-running dispute with Wilson's Hospital School.
Now, there is a bit of a precedent there, isn't there? Because he has previously been released into periods of school holidays on the grounds that he is unlikely to picket a school that
That's
is currently
right.
not containing any people.
So the question is, does that happen again now? So lawyers for the school are saying that he owes 425,000 euro and 2,100 euro, but they were asked by the judge to recalculate the figure after he took issue with it and indicated that it should be lower. He has spent 700 days in jail across different spells over his contempt. I believe now he is in Castlebury Prison in County Roscommon.
450,000. I mean, even if it is reduced, even if it is significantly reduced, it is
still
the kind
of
sum where it is almost impossible to. I mean, it is a house.
And he has spoken, I think, before about saying, you know, he was trying to save for a deposit for a house. So look, it's interesting to see whether or not that'll be reduced somewhat. And if it is reduced, by how much?
It'll also be interesting to see whether or not this as an issue ever goes away. Because it was the kind of thing where you thought at the outset, well, this may go on for a number of months, maybe a year. Again, I mean, a bit like the legislation going through, we could all be old and still discussing Enoch Burke bouncing in and out of jail.
Yeah, it seems to be ongoing. And certainly the Burke family are in the news really now week in, week out and several times a week. And that seems to be not coming to an end anytime soon.
Gabia, thank you very much. That is Gabia Gadavaskacha, who is BBC's Dublin correspondent.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.